money? Because when we think about the biggest lenders in Australia, I mean, of course, the four big banks, they are at the top. But number five on that list might actually surprise you, because it is the bank of mum and dad. Parents now contribute to an estimated $35 billion annually to help their kids enter the property market. I wonder if that is something that you have done, and what was your experience? Did it work? You can call me 1300 662 279, or text 0467 922 684. Giving or lending your kids tens of thousands of dollars, though, it can work in many ways, and it isn't without its risks. So today, I thought maybe we'd engage an expert to talk us through all the variables when it comes to giving your kids a whole stack of cash. Suzanne Haddon is the Managing Director of BFG Financial Services. Good afternoon, Suzanne.
Oh, good afternoon, Jess.
Now, let's start with some of the different ways that parents might be able to help kids get into the market if they're lucky enough to be able to. Do we know, like, is giving money as a gift the most common way?
The gift is probably the most common way, because when your kids go to apply for a loan, if it's not a gift and say you've lent the money, it can actually reduce what they can borrow anyway. So at the end of the day, the gift tends to be how it's done. But it's not the only way you can help your kids.
What are some other ways?
So, you know, sometimes I see with clients that they can be uneasy because they might not be in the fortuitous position of being able to have a large gift to their children. But you can actually help your kids through educating them, for example, on different pathways to home ownership. You know, there's government schemes like the Home Guarantee Scheme, which is relaunching 1st of October, where you need a 5% deposit. And yes, it limits how much you might be able to buy, but remember, property ownership is a ladder, not an elevator. You sort of buy modestly and move up. So I try to counsel those clients that don't feel you're letting your kids down. You're not. You can educate them on other ways they can get assistance from the government to get into the property market.
Mm. When we talk about gifting money, I'm assuming that gift, it's like, enjoy, I'm in a position to do this, remember me well in my older years. Are there circumstances where perhaps if it's like lending money, that, like, do we need legal documents behind these? Like, just dotting your I's and crossing your T's, because blending money and family feels like it could be a fractious kind of thing to do.
Yeah, that's a really important point, Jess. The first thing I'd say is you've heard the saying, fit your own mask, then assist others. And so whenever you're considering whether it's a gift, whether it's a loan, you have to make sure as the parent that you can afford to do this, that you're not going to be knocking on their door at age 76 and saying, well, I've run out of money, either you give it back or I'm moving in. So it's really important to get that financial advice to make sure you can afford to do what you want to do. Mm. But as far as the loans, you have to make sure that they understand it's a loan, and that means legal documents. I don't think there's any shortcuts here. You need transparency, you need advice, and you need the kids to understand what basis you're parting company with some of your money. And so you don't want them to misunderstand what their obligations are in relation to that loan.
Mm. What are some of the risks, do you think? Like, if your child is married and you're helping the couple buy a property and you make an agreement with the couple, but that relationship, you know, goes belly up, are there ramifications that can play out?
Absolutely. So a couple of things. For example, when you're giving a gift, you must always consider the relationship status of your child. And most times when you give a gift and they're borrowing, they're going to need a statutory declaration from you to state that it's a gift. Make sure it says it's a gift to your child, not to the happy couple. That won't always protect you, but it gives another layer of protection if it goes to court in the event of a breakup. As far as the loans go, that's when you probably want to have both members of the couple on a loan document, so they're both obliged to repay that loan in the event of a breakup. And again, no shortcuts. Legal advice, get it done right. This little handwritten note amongst the family doesn't cut it when there's a dispute. So act in haste, repent at your leisure.
Yeah, it's that thing of like, oh, I don't want to pay a solicitor, I don't want to pay a lawyer to do this, but you'll probably be paying far more than legal fees down the road if you don't do it.
And the other thing is, sometimes parents don't quite understand the effect on their circumstances with a gift. Some people don't realise that when you give a gift, and it's a large gift, say over $10,000 in a year or $30,000 over 5 years, that money still counts as your money if you apply for the age pension or, heaven forbid, have to go into aged care. Yet you don't have that money to help pay for those costs. It's called asset deprivation. So when you give away money, the government doesn't say it's not your money anymore if you need support, whether it's Centrelink or aged care. So you have to understand those obligations.
Yeah, look, I think Gillian has also pointed this out on the text line. She says it's important to remember that gifting or lending money to someone can affect Centrelink payments. Thank you, Gillian. So there are ramifications that it's also probably worth talking to a professional to make sure that all the things that you might not be considering are considered before you make a big decision. I want to ask about things like shared equity. So let's say a parent decided to put in 20% of the cost of the house into it. Does that come back to them when the house is sold? Does it get interest? Does it get, you know, can you make some money on this? How does it work?
You can. So what you have to be careful here is when you own a part of the home, your part is subject to capital gains tax on sale. Whereas if you had lent the money or gifted the money and the child owned all their own home, there'd be no capital gains tax. So that always has to be taken into account. Plus, I see sometimes the parents say take 5 or 10% with the view of passing that on to the child at some point. But if it's passed on in their life, not only has capital gains tax need to be considered, you also have stamp duty to be paying again, because it's going from the parent name to the child. But if you truly view it as an investment, well, that's not a problem. But just remember that quite often the kids aren't going to pay you rent. So if you're borrowing, trying to negative gear a portion of your child's home, that might not work as well as you had hoped. So it does make another layer of complication for sure. I've also seen siblings buy together, but what has happened there, you have to have a very clear outline of when we're all going to exit the property if someone has a partner. But again, families pooling resources together can help start that property journey a bit earlier than it might otherwise happen.
And look, before I let you go, what about family trusts? How will they work?
So with a family trust, it depends if you're buying the property in a family trust. So it's a complex arrangement, but often it could get caught up in capital gains tax. But what people also do is if they've got money in a family trust, they sometimes lend that money out to the child, set up a loan agreement, and the child pays some interest back to the family trust. But remember, family trusts, I can assure you, are for tax planning, but they're also for asset protection. So other very wealthy families also distribute income from the family trust to help their children, whether it be for loan payments or a larger lump sum to help the purchase price. So it's certainly worth having a look at, but you'd want to be fairly well off, I would think.
Well, indeed. Suzanne Haddon is Managing Director of BFG Financial Services. Thank you so much. We probably have a regular segment where we quiz you on this stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jess.
Take care.